Well, it's good to be safe. Never become familiar with the fine things that makes you lose the wonder of what God has done in your life. Let's just take a moment together in prayer this evening. Father, you're here tonight. We believe you're here in power. There are hearts here that, and dear folks here tonight, Lord, maybe who have sung that hymn and said, that's an old hymn, I know that hymn, but they don't know him. And they can't say Jesus saves. Can't say Jesus save me. May your Spirit move in power across the hearts of each one now. Speak to my heart. Those of us who are saved, Father, we do pray that we will get a fresh appreciation of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for this now in a wonderful way. Amen. Amen. Will you turn with me to the third chapter of the Gospel of John? While you're looking it up, I just want to say that on Wednesday night, if the Lord will, I'm hoping to go to over to the Current. And if anybody wants to come with us and cheer up these folks and sing and praise and glorify the Lord, then just let us know. And you know where I live. I live next door, you know. And just let us know and come with us and we'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord and preach the word. So if you'd like to be with us, we'd love to have you with us in a special way. Now, this is a very familiar passage of this word of God. I love the Gospel of John because it presents the Son of God as he really is. It doesn't begin at Bethlehem. It goes right back into eternity past and away back there in time. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. But here when we get to the third chapter, Jesus, having spoken about being born again and the necessity of it, he goes on. And I want to pick out a theme here. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Let me say that again. There was a purpose in Jesus coming. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen to this lovely verse. For, you know, folks, and the devil will tell you, you know, if you get saved, you're going to be the most miserable person in the community, and you'll probably end up in the chapel or one of these two churches, three churches, and these people don't look the happiest people in the world. That's what the devil said. But my friend, happiness is in the heart. Listen to what he says here. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him should be saved. And that's wonderful, you know, that the world should be saved through him. Away in the west of Scotland, there's a lovely little village called Inellan. Lies at the head of one of the great Scottish lochs that open up into the sea and down in a district called the Argyllshire. One Saturday night, a preacher goes home. He had been at his sister's wedding. He probably had officiated at it. He's sitting down there, and as the darkness of the night came upon him, he entered into a deep depression. They never tell us why, what depression it was, or the reason for it, but he entered into a deep depression. And in that deep depression, he said, within 5 minutes, a hymn began to flow. And that hymn began to flow in such a way that he needed no correction from him at all. And he said, within 5 minutes, I had the whole hymn. And it seemed to be as though the Spirit of God, in his moments of sadness, whatever the reason was. It could have been at the opportunity of wedding, of the his sister's wedding, that he thought back to the day when at college, his university sweetheart discovered that he was going to be blind and stated clearly to him that the wedding was off and that I do not wish to be the wife of a blind preacher. And the words are so familiar. Oh, love, thou wilt not let me go. I rest my weary soul on thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thy ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. And in the depth of his depression, George Matheson, the Scottish preacher, who said that when he preached and when he went blind, you wouldn't know the way that he handled the scripture and had memorized the scripture. You would never know that he was a blind preacher, but he could preach and teach with power, ending up in Edinburgh. And my dear friend, no truth in the Bible comes home to us with such force than the power and the tenderness of God and His almighty love for us. It was the weeping prophet Jeremiah who found himself with a message that people didn't want. In fact, God told him when he called him to the ministry, he said, you know, and to the prophets, to the realm of the prophets, he said, I'm going to give you a message that the people don't want to hear. But yet in the midst of it all, he comes out with some phenomenal statements. And one of them is this. He writes in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. O love, that will not let me go. And so as we come and we think of the word love in the world today, we think of the use of the word eros, the human love, the sexual love that is so presented to us in the world today with all its glamour and yet with all its emptiness. But the love that God had for us was agape love. It was a sacrificial, glorious love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's how I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And so as we begin to see this, the apostle wrote to the Ephesians concerning Christ's love for us. He says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savour. There's no question about it. Christ loves us. And as we look at the great love of Christ, we discover some things about it today. One, I want to say this, my friend, the love of Jesus Christ is a personal love. It's a personal love. What does this child's hymn say? For the younger folk, I quote it, but it's for all of us. Jesus loves me. It was Karl Barth, the Swiss theologian, who was asked in South America by a group of newspaper men. They said, give us a profound statement from your great study of theology. Give us a profound statement of the Christian gospel. And to their amazement, he simply said this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so we discover this, my dear friends, that God is love. And all the love starts with Him and ends with Him. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. He came into the world and He loves us. And He loves us, my friend, personally and individually. God's love for me, Christ's love for me, the Holy Spirit's love for me opens the way to the love of God and everybody else is included. It was a great preacher, Augustine, who said this, God loves us, everyone, as though there were but one of us to love. What a tremendous statement. Now, I want you to sit there and I want the Spirit to get you and just to focus in on you as though there was nobody else in this room but you. And you are sitting there and you're separated, caught in the hands of the Spirit of God, and you're not conscious of anybody else. And you hear this thought, God loves us as everyone, as though there were but one of us to love. Jesus loves me. Silently say it to yourself tonight. Jesus loves me. Isn't that exciting? My dear friends, as we look at it, then we discover that the songwriter expressed it in a way. Fisherman called me up. He said, John, it's time. I says, what time is it, Bertie, on the northeast of Scotland? Man who had gone out the North Sea, he says, time I was baptized. I says, how did you come to that conclusion? He says, well, I was saved 25 years ago, he says, on the deck of a fishing boat. I knelt down on the deck of the fishing boat, and I gave my heart to the Lord. He says, I want to be baptized. God had been touching his heart. But he says, I've one request. I said, what is it? He says, will you sing a special hymn for us? I said, Bertie, I'll sing any hymn you want. And he says, I want you to sing, the congregation to sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. A sinner, condemned, unclean, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to who? To me. We're back to the individual again, aren't we? And so we discover the wonder of it all, and what a night it was when we baptized Bertie, packed out, and people there, and we sang that hymn. And Bertie, you could see God's Spirit moving in his life. And he was moved by the fact that Jesus loved him. Are you moved by that fact? You're a Christian for how many years? Have you forgotten that great fact? You better not, because, my dear friend, there's a day when that great fact is going to be the most important fact in your life. For we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus says. Then, my dear friend, let me say this. The love of Jesus Christ is a love, a universal love. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let me clarify a point here. You see, my dear friends, I want to make this absolutely clear. It's a universal love, but it's not a universal salvation. Because in between the words, he loves us, we also have, he that believeth in me shall not perish. You see, it's a love that reaches out and an invitation that goes to all men and women. But my friend, there comes that point when we are confronted with this great fact that he is challenging us, and it's everyone, everywhere, anywhere can be saved by believing this often quoted cherished verse. What a verse. John 3:16. There was a man in Maine recently who wanted to put it on his car as his number plate, and the authorities refused to let him do it because it had religious content. That crazy world we're living in there. But let me say this, the love of Jesus Christ is a powerful love. For we discover this, that the love of Jesus is powerful in seeking sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. That's what lost. I love that hymn. I love to sing it to myself because nobody else wants to listen. But you know, I love to sing it about, I was lost, but Jesus found me. found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into the way. I remember I got saved. I was as green as you make them. I come out of a very worldly background, left home at 16, get saved, go in with a little company of Christians. You know, my friend, I'll tell you what, the excitement is in our hearts. It was so strange compared to what I had, but I didn't feel it strange because the Spirit of God in me was in the other people there. And I remember the first time after I had been baptized and come into the fellowship, I gave out a hymn. And it simply went this way. Probably the first hymn I ever gave out at the Lord's table. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. Who loved me ere I knew him. He bound me with the cords of love. Thus he drew me to him. And as I looked at that breath and wine that day, taking it probably for some of the first times, in it I saw the sacrifice of someone who loved John Clunas so much that he was willing to give his life a ransom to take away my sin. And to put my sin as far as the east is from the west and in the deepest part. And he was willing to become my savior by giving his life for me that I might have his life in me. That's what happened. And I remember just 18 getting up and singing, I found a friend. It's a great friend, you know, isn't it, the Lord? Isn't he a wonderful friend? You know, we often used to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's true, you know. That's true. That's true. You can pray anywhere. I've prayed in all sorts of funny places. I'm sure some of you have prayed more in aeroplanes than you've prayed anywhere else. Isn't that right? Oh, I'll tell you. And those of you with teenagers, don't teenagers enhance your prayer life? Eh? Boy, they do something to your prayer life, don't they? Oh, you pray hard, don't you? You feel like the Titanic. You're sinking. The iceberg's bigger than you. Isn't that right? But what a friend we have in Jesus. And my friend, there's never a moment that you call that you don't get through. And so we discover it's a very powerful love. You see, my dear friend, the love of Jesus Christ is powerful in seeking us. He's looking for you tonight. How many times have you sat in that seat? I don't know you. How many times have you sat in that seat and you've gone out that door, or that door? And if you died tonight, you are L-O-S-T, lost eternally without a Savior. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you can never say, I never heard. And we can never say, well, of course you won't be, you'll be at the great white throne judgment. Just to get my theology right. And you can never say, I enter eternity and nobody loved me. And I wonder if the great judge hold up his hand and say, silence in the court. And as you look at that hand, you see the marks of the cross, nail prints, and shining through these marks is the evidence of divine love. Nobody goes into eternity not loved they go into eternity rejecting God's love. And so we discover it's powerful. Secondly, the love of Christ is powerful in saving the lost. Because God commendeth or put his love in our direction, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where you're sitting right now, God is shoving, is putting by the Spirit his love right down in your heart and saying, here I am, I'm waiting to hear you say, I'm saying come, will you come? And you see, I loved a hymn I learned when I wasn't long saved, and I was weaned on this red book. So I know the hymns. Used to missions every night of the week. We sang out of this book. 773 years I spent in vanity and pride. That last verse. Oh, I couldn't get over it. Oh, the love. Oh, you know that wonderful verse that tells us about how God spanned by his grace. Mercy there was great and grace was free. There his pardon was shown to me at Calvary. The love, years I spent in vanity and pride. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And sitting where you are, you're surrounded by the love of God. Imagine walking out this place tonight in the direction of hell, having been surrounded by the love of God. Wow. An old Irish preacher said to me, don't you ever, John, preach hell without a tear in your eye. And hell's not funny. Hell's tragic. And hell's not the gospel. It's the result of not believing the gospel. Because the gospel is good news. And the good news is, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Wow. To walk out of this place, having walked in with a final destination of hell, and to turn out in the next few minutes and turn round and walk out of this place with your shoulders square and somebody says, where are you going? I'm heaven bound. I have Christ. I'm saved by the grace of God. And so it's a powerful love. And the love of Jesus is powerful in securing us as Christians all the way. It'll never let us go. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration on this. Will you let me do this? Can I use my young friend here? I don't want to embarrass you, but would you come up beside me? I need an illustration. He's a good friend of mine. He told me on Thursday that everybody here is sinners. And I believe he's right. Amen. You were right. Now, I just want you to take your hand and I want you to hold my hand. We better stand over here so everybody can see this. I want you to see this. And I want you to hold that. Okay? Now, hold it tight. Okay? Now, when God saves you, that's what he does. Now, I want you to loosen your hand and try and take it away. You can't. Do you know why? Because God, my grip on you is greater than your grip on me. And when God grips you, he never lets you go. And I'm going to give you a hug. I don't know which hug, but this is a good one. Did you get it? Did you get it? I am weak, but thou art strong. And when in my weakness, I loosen the grip. Do you know what happens? He never lets me go. And I thank my young friend for helping me there. Sometimes when you see something, it's more real, isn't it? And you know, how do you think a fellow like me has lasted as long as that, lad, 50 years as a Christian? Do you know why? It wasn't because my grip on God was stronger than his, it was just because his grip was stronger than mine. He held on. He held on. And so very quickly then, my dear friend, let me say this. The love of Jesus Christ is a demanding love. You see, he demands my love in return. If you loved someone, you return that love. It's a reciprocal love. Only his love is greater than ours, but when we discover that God loves us, then we don't just sing, Jesus loves me with the children, but what do we sing? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Is that right? Or love, wonderful love, the love of God to be. And then you come with the Apostle John and you say, behold what love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should become the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then it goes on, never forget the next verse. Let everyone who walks his way purify himself, even as he is pure. What a love. The love of Jesus demands commandment keeping. Oh, not the legislation of men. Not the legal legislation of men. But the loving commandments of God. The love of Jesus Christ demands communication. You talk with the Lord. As a hymn, someday I must get the whole hymn, but I haven't got the whole hymn, but it always just touches my heart. And it was, the King and I. Go down life's road together. He, the King of Kings, and I, a lowly beggar. What a Savior. What a Savior. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Just say amen. That's good. The devil doesn't like to hear it. Sometimes folks say to me, well, we don't say that here. I said, no, either. They don't say it in hell either. You know, my dear friend, I like to annoy the devil. I've been doing it for many years. I was singing this morning when some of the folk come in. The devil and me, we don't agree. Glory, hallelujah. I hate him and he hates me. Glory, hallelujah. My friend, if I can give him a headache tonight, my friend, I tell you, if we can knock him flat tonight by some of you folk getting saved, that would be absolutely wonderful. Let me say this, my friend. It's a demanding love. The love of Jesus. But let me say this very quickly. The love of Jesus Christ is a stimulating love. For there are many great doxologies found in the scripture. Romans 11:36. For unto him, and through him, and to him, are all things in him be glory forever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And Hebrews, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Yes, my friend, the love of Jesus is a stimulating love. It stimulates us. But let me say this very quickly, that the love of Jesus is a satisfying love. At the end of the first doxology in Revelation, we find these words: to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, the satisfaction as we look at the world today to know that God is in control. Amen. One writer wrote, "O let thy love my soul inflame, and to this service sweetly bind, transfuse it through my inmost frame, and mold me wholly to thy mind." My dear friend, you will not only be saved by the grace of God that will give you entrance into heaven, but you'll have a wonderful life to live till you get there. And the love of Jesus is triumphant. Paul says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that hath loved us." In the Song of Songs we find the words, "He hath brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love." Loved with everlasting love. Bought by grace, that love to know. Do you know it? It's different from anything else in this world. It's even different sometimes than family love. It has a depth to it. It has a reality to it. It has a tremendous power to it. And when we find ourselves at the bottom of the barrel, as George Matheson says, we say, "O love, that wilt not let me go." I was preaching in our own chapel just before I left, and I preached this message. A brother came up to me at 11, he lost his son at 11-year-old son to leukemia. He said, "John, thank you." He said, "I was invited onto a Christian radio station to say, what sustained you in it all?" He wrote a book about it. And he said it was George Matheson, him, "O love, that will not let me go." Christian friend, are you struggling tonight? You're in the grips of a God who loves you and never leave you. He'll keep you. In fact, the hymn goes on. He says, "O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in this thy sunshine blaze its day may brighter, fairer be." Then he moves even higher. He says, "O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain. I feel the promise is not vain. The morn shall tearless be." And then finally he says,